Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Moms Watching Media, where this mom is watching. My name is Tara Fricano, and I'd like to give a very warm welcome to my good friend and fellow patriot, Lynn Taylor, a.k.a. Common Core Diva, fierce fighter and advocate for the children across our country. I'd like to welcome her today. She's a good friend of mine. She's on the line right now, and I hope many of you are listening in because the information she has for us today is very important for us all to know. I'd like to welcome her. Hold on. Lynn, are you there?
I am, Tara. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming on today. There was so much to talk about. How's everything going with
you
first?
Oh, I know.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Hope you are.
Oh, I am. Summer's starting to heat up. You know how it goes. So how's everything going on the educational front there? You were very, very worried
today is a bad day for education because the Supreme Court this morning just handed down a decision that Betsy DeVos and the mainstream media and all the people who have been touting, you know, education savings accounts, the Supreme Court just ruled that, yes, we can use public money for private education. Now, Tara, I know you've been following me for a while, and I know a lot of your listeners probably have too as well, but here's one of the things that we need to understand is that page 17 of the Every Student Succeeds Act was very plain when it said all education must be aligned to the same post-secondary readiness standards as laid out as in the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And what that translates into that was that it didn't matter if you were public school, public charter, private charter, some combination of you know, hybrid schooling like that. It didn't matter if you were in parochial school or a faith-based school. It didn't matter if you were homeschooling. When the federal government uses a word like every student, they mean all students across the board. And I've been telling people for years that don't take the poison carrot stick approach to the education savings accounts, the tax credits, the vouchers, anything like that, because what it did was it opened Pandora's box to have the federal government or the state government or a combination of both come into your literal home and tell you how you can educate, what's acceptable and what's not. I mean, we have over half the United States that have laws on the books at the state level that have education neglect and education abuse already factored in with either fines, punishment, or worse, having your child removed because you're not educating in the way that the government is mandating. And with the Supreme Court decision like this saying we can use public money for private education, including homeschooling, you have just welcomed the vampire into your home, and they will suck your children dry.
I completely agree, and I've been trying to warn people myself that, you know, when you take there's nothing they give you that doesn't come with some sort of payback. You know, and I look at it like, you know, the apple, the poison apple. You know, we know it from Adam and Eve. We know it even with Snow White if we want to go Disney route. You know, you take that apple, it's these parents don't understand that there's a big infringement coming on these children. So now what you're saying is that this money is supposed to be allocated in what way? So is this part of the COVID idea, or is this just a separate bill unto itself where they're going to fund everybody in a certain way?
Okay, what this is going to do is it's going to open up the Blaine Amendments, which was supposed to be some sort of separation of church and state, I remember. I wrote an article back in late May, and I've already done an interview on Sons of Liberty about this particular article, Tara, but it was all about how the education savings accounts were going to be a manipulation of the family, okay? Because what the mainstream media and what the proponents of all this, and let's remember, the proponents for education savings accounts account can be traced back to people like Senator Lamar Alexander, who was the poster boy for the Every Student Succeeds Act. You can trace education savings account advocates to Cato, to Pioneer, to Heartland, to all these other supposed conservative think tank groups, as well as some liberal groups as well. So this is coming at us from both a Democratic and Republican side, and what they're saying is that these are taxpayer-funded bank accounts that will give you total freedom, Tara, to educate any way you want to help your child to be the best that they can be. But again, go back to the Every Student Succeeds Act. It was mandated in the language, now not on page 17, but on, I can't remember what page, but it was mandated at that point, Tara, that everything starts shifting to a pay-as-you-go success system, which we know is fascist. So, of course, that has been what has happened with these education savings accounts or tax vouchers or tax credits or any scholarships. You know, they're being called freedom scholarships. So what this is going to do is it's going to not only open all that mess up, it's going to pave the way for that $5 billion investment, so to speak, that Trump and DeVos want to put into our education system under the name of Education Freedom Scholarships. And we've got senators like Cruz who are backing this as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I get confused. I mean, yes, I was a big endorser of Ted Cruz through his run in the beginning there. But, you know, ultimately, I find that either, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that everyone's bad. I'm not going to sit there and say that everybody's bought. But I got to say, when it comes to 98% of our politicians, they are uneducated. So
absolutely.
They get sold on these ideas. So let me ask you a question, though. When it comes to the scholarship, do you have to apply for it?
Oh, sure. You're going to have to submit to the federal government. They're going to, and the state government is going to approve or disapprove what you're teaching. And let's face it, if you're in one of those states where they've got educational neglect laws going, Tara, you run the risk of having fines, prison, or losing your children. This is not worth it. This is so not worth it. And you did ask about how this might affect the post-COVID. It's going to absolutely do that because it's going to be one more selling tool for the Common Core machine to use against the family. You know, because everybody's going to have to be either online or in-home or some combination thereof. And, yeah, there were billions of dollars set aside for COVID relief in education, especially for digital and online learning, that was in that CARES Act. Now, you have the House of Representatives who just today rolled out H.R. 2, which is the Invest in America Act. And in that particular act, $103 billion, Tara, to either reopen or rebuild every school in America so that they can be COVID safe.
You know, and I find it interesting because on the local level, I've been paying attention. Like, just in my area alone, I noticed that many schools were getting loans to, they were told, like in my community, in my school district particularly, I can give it as an example. There was a perfectly fine elementary school that went from K through third. And then in the middle school building, they had fourth, like up to, I think it was eighth. I think that's where their middle school stopped. So you had the dispersion of the different buildings, right? And then we had a high school. But then all of a sudden, they were trying to that, you know, gas was too much, and they had these think tanks come together to decide what was better for the district, and they finally convinced the people of the district that we should get rid of the elementary school and sell it, and then the state was offering a loan with zero interest to expand their middle school. So now you only have two buildings. And so now they get all this money to expand the middle school, and now there's been talk of regionalizing our very small school district with only 850 children into joining with the local city. And it's they're very different, diverse, you know, you got city and then you have very rural country school districts. So the line is drawn very thick between entering the country life and the city. And now they want to try to join these forces. So my thought was, is when I saw the layout of the new expansion, their library was tiny. They were bringing in new rooms that didn't necessarily make sense. They were just these added resource rooms. They could just throw words around like that. And now you're talking about consolidation all the time and regionalism. So now you're saying that we're going to get this money to help revamp these different schools, but now with them not going back to school, what's going to be the plan for these buildings? I mean, I'm always back to the idea of what's up with the buildings, because I don't know about in your state, but a lot of our schools have been turned into apartment buildings.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's an interesting concept, because that could happen in other states as well. But from what I've been able to read of this particular post-COVID world, if you will, for education, is if and when the children go back to the schools, okay, they have to be COVID safe. So that means that, you know, let's say you just, all right, let's take, for example, we've got a new school that's being built here in my neighborhood, or excuse me, my state, and, you know, they haven't literally even finished the building. But under this, it would have to either be A, torn back down, or would have to, you know, go ahead and finish it up. But then they would have to go in and replace the HVAC system because, you know, this supposedly travels by air. And if it travels by air, it can't go through the vents of the HVAC system. So you see how ridiculous we're getting? It also goes into your infrastructure because you have to go have a safe route to school. Well, that's going to dictate your neighborhood. And another thing that they will be doing with these schools, whether the children are in classes or not, Tara, is, and, you know, we've talked about this several times, and that is that they turn the school into a community hub, especially in those rural areas where the family and the community can go for all their health care needs, for all their behavioral health needs, for all their services that you would see. So, you know, think about that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, again, I go, you know a little bit of my background, too. I'm from Long Island, and then I moved to Central New York, where it's much smaller. Small-town living is something I'm a true advocate for, I think. Smaller is better. It really is, because it's more community-based. So now we're out in the middle of kind of nowhere, in the essence of the world. It's country, it's rural. And what they're doing, Lynn, is they're picking little tiny communities to do this in. So just north of us, in a very small school district that was struggling, we'd barely have any students as well. They had to join the sports from our district and their district. But then the other thing that was just so excited and was all over the news is that now they have joined forces with state funding to the local clinic that is right near the school. So now the community's excited because nurses will be hired, and now if your child is sick, you can just send them to school, and they'll just go to this clinic for the day, so you can still go to work. And parents slowly getting, like you said, it's like a vampire. You ever see how the vampire bat works when it goes up to the back of the cow and just like digs his little venomous little teeth in there, and he just drips? It's like a little tiny drip, 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 and he just keeps drinking until he's fat and happy. That is what is occurring because the parents are not seeing it. We're seeing counties falling apart financially, and now this COVID thing has, I mean, I know personally being on my Republican committee and talking to some of the county legislators, we are in the hole. So now we're going to be desperately seeking that money, any of those little crumbs that come from the feds that you're talking about, and we'll have to eat the proverbial crap just to get the funds to stay afloat. And I don't know what direction the schools will take. I mean, I know at this point we don't have any answers. I don't know about your state. But I do know in Virginia, I heard that some of the private Catholic schools are going to just do their own protocol, that they have written a letter to the state and that they won't be able to follow these mandates about social distancing, but they are somehow allowed to. I don't know what will come September, though. What do you think?
Well, with this Supreme Court decision, I don't even think that's going to be able to stand up, to be honest. I mean, you know, if you look at what the Blaine Amendments are, which was to force separation of church and state, if you will, in education, it was a target against the Catholic Church. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. The Catholic Church has so aligned itself with United Nations, they have their own Common Core collaboration team that's been around since I can't tell you when, I don't remember when, but I have it, you know, in my archives. And they've even had David Coleman, the wicked David Coleman, go and be a speaker at some of their education conferences. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But here's the thing. We've got the government who has been in this demise, if you will, of not only education, but our recent economy because of COVID. And now what are they doing, honey? They're saying, oh, we're the only ones qualified to have the answer. No, it's we the people who have the answer.
I mean, cause, yeah, I'm a homeschooling mother. So let me tell you, it is not hard to figure out a good education for my daughter every year. You know, we sit in the summer, and this is what I try to tell parents, because I understand homeschooling is something that really a lot of parents are terrified of. You know what I mean? They're just, we've been so conditioned to not understand that we could teach our own children. And if we can't understand what our children are being taught in the schools, we should really be scratching our heads about that as well. But I digress, because ultimately when it comes to homeschooling and I have to choose my daughter's curriculum for the year, this is not rocket science. This is not something that people should be so terrified of, because as a community, even if they wanted to rescue the public schools, as a community walking into those board meetings and having open discussions and figuring out the curriculum for their children, they are probably more than capable of doing it on their own. They just don't know, or maybe they've just been conditioned, Lynn. I don't know, you know.
Oh, and you're absolutely right, because what have we been told about so many things, Tara, that we can't do, but the government can do it so much better? And look throughout history. Any time that has happened, what happens to that civilization?
Falls apart.
It eventually crumbles. And that's exactly
right.
Where we are.
And now
we are
losing our schools. We're losing our, and the county lines is something that people should really pay attention to. The loss of county lines is really the ultimate goal when you talk about the sustainability. That's what, you get rid of all of those lines, you can no longer have your constitutional sheriffs. You can know you were starting to lose elected positions.
Yeah.
You know, when you give up your rights, I mean, because as a trustee that I was for 4 years, we were pushed and pushed to dissolve our village every time I turned around. They want you to dissolve your lines and start small. So that's why you regionalize schools. And guess what? I went to Catholic school when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from the time I was in preschool all the way, you know, up until I was in high school until 12th grade. And I remember starting with the Catholic Church. So that term regionalism happened in our Catholic schools. And it was when my school was then lost and kind of disappeared. I was young. I mean, it happened when I was, I believe, in 10th grade. So we're talking 30 years ago. So, but ultimately they would consolidate the schools and we're getting rid of the principals. Isn't that what we were seeing over the last 10 to 15 years in the public education? So it was the Catholic schools that started regionalizing and using terms like that people weren't aware of. I mean, yes, was I raised a Catholic my whole life? I went to church. My family was very devoted. But there is a lot of conditioning, and I saw it in the church, and now even my own high school that I graduated from that was, you know, very community-oriented, very family-oriented, very faith-based. Now I'm seeing their teaching classes called Global Religion, and I've heard this from liberal professors that they want one, that we are so archaic that how could we possibly not just have one world government and one world religion? And it's not from professors that you see in the news. This is from people I'm having conversations with out in the world. So they're being indoctrinated in the colleges.
It's absolutely a shame. But, you know, I've seen you talk about the overreaches of, you know, globalism, STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math. And, I've gotten beat up on this one before, but if I get beat up some more, that's okay too. But here's the thing about it that people don't realize. The UN went to the National Science Foundation, which is a U.S. government-funded non-governmental organization, and they influenced the NSF to, come up with a marketing scheme so that we can use it as a change agent in education so that people will be none the wiser. And that's how the acronym for STEM came up. I kid you not. I have it in my archives. It's been documented that this is exactly what happened, and it was trotted out about the same time that Common Core was, and Common Core was the big distraction. STEM has been the absolute bottom line the whole time, and here's what is supposed to be happening. It's ushering in those sustainable development goals, which we know regionalism is part of it, okay? But it was to do that so that it wouldn't feel like it was a subversive move when it absolutely is.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. We keep going full circle. And again, we are in an election year. So we always have these dramatics that go on because weren't we hearing race card in the last presidential election? Weren't we hearing all about the space idea? I mean, but little by little, the more you chisel, you're going to break it down. So every couple of years, we keep hammering on it. And everybody says, we hear this every year. Every year we hear this. And, well, every year it keeps getting worse. So, are we going
to... Right.
Well, how do we fight? How would you suggest a parent to be able to just do something about these not so much the bills, because I think they're still going to pass. I don't think we're capable of actually stopping the feds voting the way they're going to vote right now, or even the state.
Right.
But I suggest, how do you suggest to the parents to stop it where they're at in their community?
Well, this is going to seem kind of radical, but hear me out when I say this, okay? Recently, the Ed and Labor Committee in the House had a member meeting, okay? And in my article that I released today, I give you the link to that particular press release so you can go in and watch the video. But it's interesting because in the opening remarks, Tara, Representative Bobby Scott, I believe it is, admitted that the federal government has become too dependent on our property taxes for education. So guess what? That's their Achilles heel, our property taxes. We have to do something that gets them on their heel, and that would be it. Now, I know it's radical, okay, and I know people don't want to lose their houses, but, honey, if enough people did it at the same time, it would overload the system to where they could not possibly keep up.
I agree. I mean, the beast is being fed by money. We know that on every single level.
Right.
There's no issue we can't look at and say, money's behind it, or that there is a care in the world from these politicians that do these things about the people. It's always about money, right? Well, because if we drain the beast will have no fuel to go forward. And I've had actually similar conversations with people at the local, like in my community, in my district, where even if they just get themselves educated, I feel like we need to actually simplify things, because I will admit, I did not know these things prior to me kind of jumping in. So one of the things I really try to encourage people to do is get to not just your board meetings, but those budget discussions. Because those budget discussions, before they vote, many in my community, and I'm not knocking just my community, it's many across the nation, don't even know they can go.
I know. Now, it's unfair that they limit you if there is public comment. It's very unfair that you're limited to 3 minutes. But, Tara, if you had a big group of like-minded people and you were coordinated enough that you could say, okay, I'm going to say X, Y, and Z, you follow me up with ABC, the next one comes in, and you keep going one after another, and by the time you're done, all your valid points, all your zingers have been presented, been able to stay within the 3 minutes.
Well, and you know what we've done before, and I've seen it myself even when I was fighting to keep, you know, the chickens in my community. You could actually give your minutes to someone else. So if you feel that someone in your circle is stronger or has the details, don't be afraid to say, okay, here's my 3 minutes. Now they've got 6 minutes. You know, these are the little details that many don't know, especially like our teenagers growing up. I mean, I understand they're learning government in school, but this is not exactly my idea of what government is, because once you get your feet dirty in it and you're at a meeting, you can see what's going on. But the thing the reason I mentioned budget discussions is you typically say in my village, and it goes the same across the board, they schedule about 2 to 3 meetings for all the board members to come together, and they just talk about it. Now, you're not allowed to have any public comment during these hearings. You can come, you can listen, but now mm-hmm. that's where you take notes, and then that's when you can go educatedly to your hearing once that occurs to pass your budget, which those are usually empty. See, if people understand that this is how they have control, it's in their backyards. So if they go to their board meetings or they go to their school meetings and they start talking about things that our parents told us not to talk about, you know, Jimmy Joe doesn't want to talk about this topic, and let's not talk about religion, and let's not talk about politics, it's time for us to talk about those things again.
Right. Absolutely.
You get educated, you start to understand that it's not boring, it's your life.
Yeah, I know it. I was just going to say, be careful and be prepared, though, so that if your particular meeting, which has public comment, doesn't say, well, sorry, you can't give your minutes to so-and-so, because I've seen that happen in my town. You know, they had a group that wanted to, you know, have a bunch to say, and exactly, they had one who was very strong-voiced, and then two or three came behind and said, you know, hey, I want to give my minutes to so-and-so so that they could come back up. No, that the city would not let them do that.
Ooh, yeah, no, that's good. That's a good piece of advice, Lynn, because you know what? They get sneaky, and you know, a lot of times people won't know their own rights when they're confronted. So, you know, you're kind of a little flabbergasted. You're going in, you're already nervous because you're going to go talk to a board that you probably maybe never done this before, or just been to a board meeting. Now you're going to stand up in front of people, and it's the most, I mean, your palms are sweaty, or you all of a sudden vision starts to go a little weird, you know, and I get it, because, but this is so important, and more parents are starting to see that unless they get vocal, nothing is going to change. You know, unless they make their stands, nothing's going to change, because right now, the only thing that's really crucifying us is that the feds are passing policy and the states are adopting those policies and the corporations are hand in hand taking over the education system with those governmental, I call it like the agencies now, but your mm-hmm. school does not have to follow it. They do not have to follow it. That is why California actually during, now I go back to the COVID idea, that is why California had such a hard time getting the last 1% of schools to close, because they were rational thinking school boards. That's where it's
right.
The independence. So now, I don't know about you, this 5G installation is going up everywhere. They're putting it up on, and now they're doing 5G installation, and they're doing it while everybody is on quarantine. So you can't go to board meetings. You can't vocalize anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch all these damn meetings through Zoom or whatever outlet they pick. But you can't voice your opinion now. So now, boom, right in the middle of a pandemic, the city of Auburn is going to put 5G on every pole, and this is a good thing. And parents are not getting the answers from their school districts on whether or not, while this pandemic is going on, is 5G being installed in the schools. The schools are giving parents runs. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, of course they're going to be in on it. Are you kidding me? Because they have to be able to have the infrastructure changed for all this COVID safety, Tara. Did you know that?
Well,
I mean, it's absolutely
prior, because
yeah.
Those contracts were prior to the COVID freakout. So those discussions
okay,
were
but
last
watch.
Summer.
Okay,
yeah.
But watch. In I don't know if your town has a public registry where, you know, minute agenda meetings and minutes from all those meetings are viewable. And some of it is just not going to be open to the public. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times that I've been able to access agenda items in minutes and then seen what has been redacted because it's not for public viewing. So, you know, we have no way of knowing if those contracts were amended or not. But a couple of things I wanted to point out about your meetings, and then let's move on to our Native Americans because that's the other big news that we have for today. Yeah, as far as the meetings, okay, my piece of advice, okay, as much as I do interviews and as much as I speak, I still sometimes get tongue-tied, okay? Even as we're speaking today, I still have a tendency to trip. We all do. It's not that I'm nervous. It's not that I cannot think. It's that I have so much trying to come out all at once that my brain literally is going, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if you get up in front of that microphone and you stumble, speak the truth. Because even if you stumble, if your voice trembles, if you're noticeably shaky, guess what? You still have an opportunity to have your voice be heard, okay?
Okay.
Now, the last thing I want to bring up about meetings, write what you want to say down, because you're right. When you get up in front of that microphone, there's some sort of nerve thing that just goes over you. And you could have it all planned out and, you know, oh, I don't need a script. But it's better to have a script. It's also good to practice it to see, does it fall within the 4 minutes? I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone to write public comments, and when I've timed myself, you know, 5 and 6 minutes long, so I'm having to go in and, well, crud, I got to chop this out or chop that out. But the point of it is that you are as prepared as you can be so that you can be that responsible citizen who is speaking up and, pardon my French, who is giving a damn.
It's true. I'm totally with you. You know what? Once you speak from your heart, I took public speaking in college, and I remember we had two major projects we had to do. We had to do one that was involving something that was personal to you, a life experience, something of that nature, and then one that was an educational one where you had to teach the class something. Well, let me tell you something. It was a lot easier to speak from my heart, from something I knew, because I was prepared. And when they wanted me to just wing it to teach the class something obscure in a 5-minute speech, it was a lot more difficult. So when parents are prepared and they understand, like what you're saying, they write it down, they know what they want to say, and keep it brief to what they're saying, then they won't have such a hard time, you know, getting out there. I know a lot of people are saying that I'm not the type to, you know, get out there and do this. Well, our children need them to now.
Right.
So,
well, before we move on
to
our next subject, let me give folks the article address so that if they want to find out why this Supreme Court decision is such a bad thing and how it's really an attack on religious freedom. And that's one thing Betsy DeVos just, I kid you not, released a very short press release about how religious persecution and discrimination was now dead as far as education. And so my response to her, and I put this out on Twitter, was that the joke is going to be on her because evidently she didn't read page 17 where of the Every Student Succeeds Act, where it says that all education has to be allied to the same thing, and that this absolutely will make religious discrimination even ramp up, because especially when you factor in the fact that the government's going to be in control of what's taught, Tara, that's exactly how. So you can find that on my blog. It was May 28th, and it's called When Lies Rule. And that's at commoncorediva.com. So that's When Lies Rule, and that is about what we've been talking about. Now, let's shift gears, and we will go to today's article. And in today's article, and that's called Step in Line or Else, and that's on Common Core Diva as well, I brought up some things that President Trump is doing that are not good things for American people, which would be he's signing more executive orders left and right that are totally bypassing Congress. And when you bypass Congress, you bypass the will of the people. Now, he is really out there pushing workforce-based education, skill-based labor, and one of his latest executive orders does exactly that. It extends it at a national level. So now we're talking, instead of us going to school and learning academics, Tara, we're going to go to school to be trained for a job. Career tech education, the STEM, the college career readiness, all that garbage is woven into that. And while that sounds kind of bad enough, over on the Federal Registry, and this is where our parents really need to go right now, Federal Registry, and in my article I'll give you the link for it. What you're looking for is you want to go and look for the particular proposed neighborhood. It is a proposed rule change from the Department of Education, Tara, and it's for Promised Neighborhoods Program. They want to propose new priorities, requirements, definitions, and select criteria, but they are targeting, are you ready? They're specifically targeting our Native American tribes.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm there. I was letting you know a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The grant money is being thrown around recently, especially in my area. We live in where the Cayuga Nation is. And
mm-hmm.
the Cayuga Nation is recently, well, not recently. They've had problems for years. They've had a division because of leadership. And
mm-hmm.
part of the tribe is very upset with all the grant money that the leader, their chief, has been taking. So there was a split, and on one side of the lake, on Cayuga Lake, on one side of the lake was the Native Americans who were opposed to taking all the federal money. And then on the other side of the lake, you had the division where the rest of them were taking the federal money. They were getting federally funded police cars. They were getting federally funded body armor and uniforms and guns
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of things. And they recently, I'm very opposed to what's going on with the Native Americans on our side of the lake, because they are slowly but surely, because the feds changed the way it works, is about,
mm-hmm.
I want to say 6 years ago, the feds said that if Native Americans land 5 years, then go and have it seen. I'm not sure of the count. I'm pretty sure it was under the county. It's been a while since I read into the details of it. But if they go to the county, then that property is considered territory, and now they no longer pay taxes. Well, the Cayuga Nation, their mission statement on their page in the very last sentence is that the white man had taken all their land, and the one way to get it back is to buy it back. So what they're doing is they're buying tons of property, and now they're in court to have the last five largest properties they have turned into reservation land, which then will mean that they will have now own almost a quarter of our county. So what ended up happening over the winter is the Native Americans that lived on the other side of Cayuga Lake were minding their own business, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, the part of the nation came from our side of the lake and destroyed their daycare. They demolitioned it with bulldozers. They demolitioned their daycare center, their private offices, their miniature golf course, and the gas station that was bringing in most of their income. Well, lo and behold, they spoke to our state senator, and our state senator informed me that she was very upset because it was her district. She was very upset about what had occurred, and she called Congressman Tom Reed, who informed her that on that very day right before they did it, that nation on our side of the lake was given $300,000 for guess what, Lynn, to build low-income housing. So they took that land, and now they're seizing it, and it will be low-income housing. So now they just, now in the paper, about 2 weeks ago, the Cayuga Nation once again is receiving grant money, and they just received $90,000 in grant money for COVID relief. And let me tell
boy.
You, they barely closed. They were open. Their establishments were open. I don't know, they were still, the reservation gas stations were open. Their little casino only closed temporarily. And then they opened up everything. So, I mean, I'm seeing this money, the UN has manipulated a lot of the nation's leaderships, because I live in and amongst the Native American community, and I don't have an issue. It's just like Amish, or it's just like the Jewish community that I lived amongst on Long Island. We don't have issues personally at our own level. It's the leadership that becomes corrupt.
Oh, exactly. Well, now here's why. Okay, I want to give a little bit of background of why this is such a bad thing and why we need to be giving public comment. Because first of all, it is a public comment window of only 30 days. And this is a tactic that our Department of Education uses all the time. You know, they say, oh, yes, we're going to notify the public. Well, they'll throw it out on the Federal Registry where they know a lot of people don't go, Tara. They'll leave it open for 30 days. And then when one or two people only comment or when no one comments, they'll come in and, well, we had an open window and, you know, blah, blah, blah. BS and horse hockey, okay? That's just not a good way to do it. But go ahead.
Do you have the deadline for that by any chance? Do you know
I do. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it right now. And so, but before I go into all that, let me give a background why the Promised Neighborhoods are not a good thing for anyone, but especially for our Native Americans, okay? The Promised Neighborhoods was an Obama-created initiative, all right? It was supposed to go away when he left office, but because someone in the bipartisanship working of the merging between the House version of updating the Elementary and Secondary Education Act and the Senate version, okay, which we now know was combined into every Student Succeeds Act, somebody got the wild idea, oh, good, let's take that Promised Neighborhood initiative, and we're going to work it into this particular education bill, and because it was codified, Tara, it could not be done away with. Okay, so they've taken an initiative, they plopped it in as a mandate under the Every Student Succeeds Act, and what those Promised Neighborhoods are supposed to do is to create more of the schools as a hub for wraparound total services like we have been talking about, okay? It's supposed to make sure that they do anything and everything to have behavior interventions, mental health interventions, family interventions, parenting interventions, and support systems, because after all, we're all so dumb we can't think of our way, we can't think a way out of a paper bag. And the government's the only one who can, you know, show us how to do it. So that's the basic idea behind these Promised Neighborhoods. And now they're targeting the Native American tribes. And here's where I'm really ticked off about this. If you look at the history books, if you listen to the first-person accounts from the Native Americans, if you look at, you know, all kinds of resources, and, you know, you have eyes to see with and you can read, you're going to see that our federal government has not once in the history of our nation treated any Native American tribe with the dignity and respect that they should have.
No, that's true. I tell you, they have not, and it's very, it's been a tough racket. I mean, I've seen out, and for me, it's a little tricky. You know, me being in New York, I see the variation. So we'd gone out to Arizona, and we had stayed in Sedona, so we had driven all along the north part of Arizona, and I saw some of the most dilapidated communities that, I mean, it was so sad. I mean, some of these trailers that they were living in were just plopped in the middle of a desert, called a reservation, and this is where they live. Now, my issue is, and there's this combating idea that, well, they don't have to live there. They could still go off the nation and still live like the rest of us do, or they could just sit back and wait for the government to give them money to pick up their community. With what you're saying. But then you flip the coin and you come to somewhere like Central New York where we have the Cayuga Nation Indians. Holy moly, Lynn, the leader of the chief of their nation in our community has a mansion. He has an estate. He has guest houses. He has one of the most big, beautiful homes in our county. So it's different. It's almost like all this we're talking about, but then like splitting the diversity even more, because you go out somewhere where we're used to seeing Native Americans being, you know, living in poverty, and a lot of it has to do with how their own reservation leadership once again runs things. So if they put a casino onto their reservation and then hire all the quote-unquote white men to work at it but don't hire their own people, then what have they done to themselves? It's just like Chicago. It's just like anything. You know, it becomes just like anything else. So
right, okay.
You know,
well,
or there's
all
a
right.
lot of illegal immigrants too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So there's a,
there
a, it's
is.
All mixed up with the salad. So they should just learn how to, like you said, we should be learning how to resolve issues on our own, in our own communities,
mm-hmm.
without knocking on the door of the government to say, hey, Mr. Government, can you please come and fix our situation? Because, you know, obviously we're unintelligent, non-capable. Like, this is what people want people to think. That's
right.
where I'm confused.
Well, let me read you from these proposed rule changes that they want to make, and the big rule changes that they want to make from the Department of Education for the Native American tribes, all right, is opening up the infrastructure for data mining, because they have to innovate and update and put technology in, and so that's going to open Pandora's box there. But here's the purpose of the Promised Neighborhoods, okay? According to the Department of Public, the Department of Education, I was about to give you the North Carolina address, but it's the federal one. Okay, it is authorized under the Every Student Succeeds Act. Its purpose is to significantly improve the academic and development outcomes of children living in the most distressed communities of the United States. Now, hang on. Let's pause right there. Anytime a government entity, I don't care if it's local, state, or federal, says outcome in relation mm-hmm. to a human being, that is a government-prescribed set of conformities that you have to measure up to. It is not allowing you to be able to freely develop your mind, your body, or anything. No, this is saying the government is going to put you in a box. This is how you're supposed to come out. So that's a dangerous word right there. So anyway, it's going to, it's going to improve the academic and developmental outcomes of children living in the most distressed communities. It's going to include school readiness, so that means our babies. It means they have to graduate high school. They also have to have access to community-based continuum of high-quality services. Now, doesn't that sound nice? Okay. And that's what we were talking about, those wraparound services.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here we're seeing the government take a people they've already enabled beyond, you know, anything that's even morally upright and decent, and they're going to enable them some more. And, you know, I don't care if you're a Native American or you're not. You shouldn't want the government to enable you even further. You should be that free-thinking person.
Are they going to get themselves confused with the fact that, okay, this is federal funding to help with our education? Because I know that recently my husband and my daughter and I, on Father's Day, went to a common
yeah.
swimming hole in the river to just, you know, let Lily, my daughter, swim around and have her, you know, fun and get – it was hot that day. So we went swimming, and we got stopped by one of the Native American – police officers, they're marshal, it said, on his badge.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to tell us that they don't follow New York State laws. He said laws, which all of this is policy, so I felt like I was being a little bullied at the sense, but whatever. I wasn't going to give him a hard time. I was respecting his property. I get it. But he was trying to tell us that they open up, they were doing things differently than New York State, that they were in their own phase and that they were going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. So now my question is that if now they're going to accept this federal money that's going to structure their education system, where do they draw that line? Because they don't want it. They, even with CPS, any kind of CPS,
mm-hmm.
county CPS workers cannot go onto reservations and deal with any kind of CPS issues on reservations in New York. They just are not allowed.
Wow.
So they're going to allow the federal government to just come in and dictate their education?
No, I think what's going to happen, Tara, is they're not going to do it from a federal level. No, they're going to come in and they're going to do it from what's known as an LEA or an SEA, and that stands for Local Education Agency or State Education Agency. Now, that can include schools, but it also can include clinics. It can include nonprofit groups or for-profit groups, anything that is education-related that community has said, we want them to be a partner of our school. So that's where they might could get away with it. But as far as what they have planned for the Native Americans, that's it. They're going to you know, open Pandora's box even more. So what we need to do, and this is an action item, okay, we only have until July 29th at 11:59 p.m. to submit comments of either we don't support this or we do support it. Now, it's been viewed, this particular document has been viewed over 400 times. Would you like to know how many comments have been made?
How many?
One.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one comment. And guess whose it is?
People are not aware.
I'm sorry?
It's just because people aren't even aware. It's like you said, they'll embed it all the way
yeah.
deep into some website, and people have no clue unless it's people like you and I that are right now talking about it and saying, hey, parents, alert, alert. So I say do this now. I wouldn't even wait until, oh, these people are so sneaky that the 30-day comment.
Oh, yeah. Well, now here's how I found this, okay? I was looking for something else in research, and I literally stumbled upon this, okay? But the one comment is mine. And let me tell you what I wrote, okay? Let me tell you what I wrote. Hang on. Okay, and this goes straight to the Department of Education. So even if they go through with this, which I'm pretty sure they will, Tara, I can still be known as a public dissenter. And that is a badge of honor, because what that shows is that I'm willing to stand up for the Constitution. I'm willing to stand up against the overreaches of the federal government. So even if you're going to lose, still make your statement, because you know what?
Right.
That public dissent is valid. All right, so here's what I wrote. I'm a hardworking taxpayer who is sick to no end of seeing my property taxes used for unconstitutional laws and programs associated with them. The Promised Neighborhoods were a presidential initiative under Obama. This was codified as a federal law in ESSA, or the Every Student Succeeds Act. ESSA violates not only the U.S. Constitution, but at least five other federal laws. Now, if this isn't treasonous enough, using Promised Neighborhoods in connection with the Native American tribes is unthinkable. Now, why would I say this? The track record of the U.S. federal government's treatment of these precious people is criminal. The government creates a problem, expects money thrown at it will fix it, and then pretends to be the only one who has a solution, especially using education as a bully pulpit for taking over our families. No to Promised Neighborhoods for anyone. Government intervention will not improve people's lives. It only creates dependency.
No, and that's perfect response, because it's not about race. It's not about gender. It's not about ethnicity or your location. It's about what is right for all of us to decide. And our communities are so varied across the United States. I mean, we're a huge country. So we're going to sit there and have a federal government decide, like I said, the Native American community in New York State is much different than the Native American community in Arizona. So now you're asking them all to be unified, and it's all a play on words. It's all a play on control and manipulating the situations, because if they get in through the, like you said earlier, with the bills of getting the private schools and everybody under the same idea, that is what is occurring. So now we have everybody going to be this common, it's not a common core, it's rotten to the core, like you've always said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, where you can find the particular registry and where you can find to submit your comments are actually two different places, Tara. In my article for today, Step in Line or Else, if you look for the paragraph that says the next step, as a question, and then says the U.S. Federal Registry, you will see it where it says these neighborhoods promise wraparound total community services in the name of student success. Comments on the changes can be made from now to July 29th, 2020. Read the information here, and that's highlighted, and that will take you to the Federal Registry where you can read it. And then comments can be submitted here, and that's highlighted, and that will take you directly to the comment area where you will have to submit it to the federal government. They will ask you, hey, if you want to upload any documents to go with your comments, if you want to upload any images, they'll ask you if you want a receipt, and they will give you an email receipt if you choose to, which will have a number so that you can go if you ever need it for, you know, transparency or accountability or whatever. You can go back and find your particular comment.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you for letting everyone know, because it's very important that we make our voices be known. I mean, ultimately, like you said, we can have we might not win this one, but at least if you get your voices out there, others might see it, others might know, and if you share it. I mean, even in my own community, I would raise awareness just by talking to the people I see at the reservation. You know, this is not something you want for your kids, about open conversations. It's not just about pushing back at the government level. It's also about getting in your community and raising some feathers up and ruffling feathers and getting a little bit more aware, because this is what's coming. And now with the COVID combined and the tidal wave, and it feels like a tornado surrounding everything that's going on. We have this, they're going to put it into the private schools, and I know that some of the private schools that are in my state are talking now, or not the private state-funded schools, the private charters that are independent, and the only kind of money they really take is just in transportation, so they get the buses. They're talking about now shutting down their schools and starting homeschool cooperatives, but we know that the homeschoolers are going to, they're going to pass bills to align everyone, and it's just like I've always said.
Well, sure.
People have to
absolutely
pass for the devil to come in.
Oh, absolutely it is. Now, there are two other things that were on the Federal Register that was released yesterday, Tara, that are not open for public comment, but we still, as citizens, need to fire back on these with those who are at our local and state level, because they're going to absolutely impact our communities. And one of them is the new changes from the Federal Communication Commission to open up the data mining that goes along with the 5G that's being inserted. So, in other words, it's not going to just breach your privacy in your home. It's going to breach your privacy everywhere you go. You can also find that link in that particular article that I just mentioned as well, and you can read how it sounds like it's just going to be this big community snooze fest, if you will, of, okay, we're going to go over here and we're going to go to sleep, and while we're asleep, they can come in with their, in the name of 5G data, supposed sharing, and get anything they want. Well, that's not right. Our people need to know who are supposedly being our representatives and senators. They need to know we're not okay with this. We didn't ask for these changes, and, you know, what can we do to, you know, block them, stop them, anything that we can. And then the last thing that was then the last thing, and this is very, this will morph right back into the Supreme Court decision that was laid out today. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security just has announced that they are going to make a faith-based national advisory council.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Now, how does this connect to education? Well, let's think about all the churches who have schools in their buildings. What about all the faith-based organizations that offer educational programming? Okay? They're going to be right in on this. Now, we're not supposed to have, and those who still believe in separation of church and state, this is going to be a big deal. All right? This really is. But we don't need a national faith-based advisory council for Homeland Security, because what they're going to go in and do is they're going to make this across the board, so the states will lose any of their, well, they've already lost their sovereignty. I mean, they did that the first time they took federal dollars, but this is going to further erode that state sovereignty. So, you know, somebody posted today on whatever media it was that, you know, the states are stronger than the federal government. No, they're not. They absolutely aren't. They should be, but they're not.
Right. They should be, and that's what's happening to our nation is, well, we weren't paying attention, and they had us looking at places like Russia, looking at places like the Middle East, looking at places like France, or whatever the distraction was at the time. Little by little, they chiseled their way to have the states hold more control, and now look at what's happening. I mean, I'm in New York, and Cuomo is just on a free-for-all of holding people prisoner, you know, because this whole COVID thing is now giving this guy run amok control. And now we weren't paying attention. We were sleeping at the wheel, and the parents just kind of was always paying attention to the presidential arena, and they always said voting wasn't important because, look, it's rigged. We'd always get distracted with all these distractions, like the presidential election is rigged and all this lying. Well, honestly, if you look at a local election, you can call your county board of elections, and they can give you the actual count because that's your county, that's your area. So they didn't want us paying attention to the state, and now they slowly turned it around.
Yeah, well, let's also remember one thing that's woven into every one of these, okay? And that's those public-private partnerships.
Yeah.
It's taking public money, and it's not going to take the public voice, and it's going to let these corporations come in and go, well, okay, we like fudge, so everybody has to have fudge. Well, what if you don't like fudge? Well, too bad.
And honestly, I hate to say it, well, I don't know. And I'm not going to have fudge if I don't want fudge. So I ultimately, that we just have to, that's just where I stand on that. And, you know, I keep pushing back. I'll talk to my local elected officials, and like I've said before, I don't think that everybody's in line with the Bill Gates or the George Soros. It's not like that. I know many elected officials in my area, and I'm talking town, county, you know, whatever it is, they're not bought. I just know that they're just uneducated, and if they're willing to have open discussions with people and hear each other out, they'll learn more. But we're just allowing everything to occur around us because in my county, we were conservative-led for a very long time, whether you want to call it Republican, Democratic, whatever. We were still conservative-led. We had farmers. We had always thinking. We had a lot of hunters, things of that nature. Little by little, through the city outlet, they built up the county ledge, and now we have a democratically led rural America county legislator, and now they're just running amok. We've lost so much in our county since this COVID has occurred, and now the education is going to get infiltrated the way it is because they've sucked everybody dry that now they're going to have to beg for this help. And that's where I draw the line. I drew the line in the sand many years ago when we all met and we all started learning from one another what was going on. I said, how can I sit there and say to everybody else in the world that I would never do this for my child, I would never let my child learn this kind of stuff without actually making the action? So we started homeschooling because I would just have to, you know, now I'm just eating it and I'm just complaining. I'm like you. Action is the only way to make change.
Right.
So it is, and we're going to have to. And, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of people have been too complacent for too long. It's why we're in the shape we're in. Because, you know, while you were listing off all those things that they were using to be like squirrels to, get everybody's attention, I knew darn good and well that, okay, yeah, while y'all are over here looking at one hand, it's the other hand behind you that you need to be looking at. And I can tell you, anytime there is a big news story, they're making some sort of shift in education, and I've seen this literally happen too many times, especially in this current administration. Now, you know, there's supposed to be more bipartisanship in this administration than, you know, in recent history. And while that may be true, look at the thing they're doing. You know, it's the same thing from both sides. So don't tell me it's an R versus a D. No, this is a we versus they.
Yep. That's exactly right. And if it's either I feel like the fight has actually come down to, are you willing to educate yourself or are you not? Because the ones that are not educated just become mean, just start going on the attack. Because honestly, yes, can I point out things that President Trump has done that were a beneficial aspect? Yes, I could probably pick out some about every president we've had decent things. But if we don't pay attention to the truth of the matter and hold these people accountable for the decisions that they're making involving our children, we can fight, I've said it 1,000 times before, we can fight all day long for our personal liberties and our personal freedoms right now. But if we do not get a handle on the education system, we are done. because we're all...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. The UN knows it. And why do you think they've had this plan in the works for so long? I mean, this garbage hit the United States, and I want to say it was the early 80s, or it could have been as far back as the 60s. I would have to go back and look. But Minnesota was where they landed. That was the first state that bought into this junk, and it has spread ever since.
That's it. We just keep getting conditioned that, oh, well, we'll take care of that. I mean, people love it easy. I mean, people love it now. They don't even turn on their own light switches. Google, turn on lights, 80%, 40%, 20%. I'm like, really? So if we start becoming
I refuse to get those smart appliances. I will not get an Alexa. I will not have a Ring. I don't want any of that because it's all been proven to go in. And you know how everybody teases about, yo, Big Brother's watching you. Well, that's what they're using is all that smart technology.
Yep, and that new app. I mean, I know that there's a lot of concern across the nation right now that when the Verizon outages were occurring about a week or two ago, that they installed the tracker into our phones, and it's there. I looked in my phone; it's there. You actually have to download an app, which there is a multitude of COVID tracking apps that you can download.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on your phone. But I still don't trust that because if they could automatically just black out a week, they can now say, hey, everybody's...
Well, here's an oddity. Why do you need a COVID tracker when you're already tracked on every place you go?
That's right, through shopping. It's all about behavioral ideas. It's all about tracking everybody's behavior. The education system right now, it's not about children thriving. It's about children being conditioned. It's about what they're putting into their brains. It's not trying to flourish a child right now. It's not trying to build them up or give them the tools they need to be a better person in the future. It's about conditioning them for social, emotional learning. And that's what I bring up all the time. We have been hearing this. Yours, you and I, and that's what they're doing through just all the COVID, just through all the race discussions, just through all of it, through the Native Americans. I mean, think about how racist it is to just tell the Native Americans, like, look, hey, you obviously, and doesn't that sound kind of racist?
Well, sure it does, but I mean, our government is the biggest race baiter out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they divide and then they run in and, oh, we have the solution. And
that's right.
No.
No. So now what do you think is going to happen just what's your prediction? Because you do so much amazing research through all of this. What is your prediction as to what this coming year will be like for the schools? I mean, your state might be doing it different than ours. I know that each district has to decide what their plan is. Is that how it's working by you too?
Right. Well, those plans also have to be authorized by you-know-who, Ms. DeVos, and we know how she is. Oh, gosh, she is one twisted mother, may I.
She really is, since the get-go.
Oh, but what I'm thinking is going to happen, okay, is first of all, I think they're going to try to alienate and isolate as much as possible, which is going to cause a lot more problems, but it's also going to open up the way that they can be justified in tracking you down. And see, one of the things that is going on right now during this COVID thing and why you have some states and some school districts trying, like everything, to use those rural community schools or those wraparound services is their justification is, well, you know, there's Johnny and Susie's family, but we've not heard from them in months, and you know, we need to go over there. We need to find out if they're okay, if they have all the food they need, if they have any medical services that they need, do they have any homework questions, you know, that sort of thing. So we as the school have to go do this. No, you don't have to go do it as the school. You could do it as just a good neighbor. I mean, you know, God tells us we're supposed to be good neighbors. And you certainly didn't see God having an agenda to go date a snoop when he said, go and be a good neighbor. No, he was saying doing it out of the goodness of your heart. But the school has an agenda, and their agenda is they have to count you. They have to track you. because they can't keep up with you if they don't know where you are. And it's driving a lot of people crazy because they're going, I have 45,000 students and I can only get in touch with 40,000. So those other 5,000, I have no clue where they are. And because I don't know where they are, I can't help them because I'm the only help that they'll ever get.
Well, I'll tell you what, that leads right into what I've been very frustrated about is all this Hollywood hype about this year's census. And this year's census and how important it is. They're going, Brad Paisley, there's going to be a big concert, I don't know if you heard about that, to push this year's census. Because I know New York is about to redistrict our state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not going to be in the favor of the people. It's going to favor cities, and it's going to make things a lot worse in our state. So this census is where they want you've seen that census. I mean,
I've written about how it overreaches into education before it ever mm-hmm. became. I think it was the prototype was out in 2019, and I think that's late 2019, Tara. And I think that's when I wrote about how intrusive it was and how much they were going to be able to do. And you know, I know they're coming out with ads. I don't know left and right. I mean, one of my daughters just got she had put in an application to work with them before she found a job, and 2 days ago they called her. Oh yeah, we need more census takers. Well, it should be about over by now. No, and I'm getting emails left and right about how much percentage of the nation has filled out their census. I don't care, because you know what, we shouldn't have to answer it. Or if we do answer it, it should be, I have 10 people in my house. That's it. It should not be, where do you work? What do you believe? Have you ever participated in this kind of activity? Have you ever, been there, done that? All this, and that's exactly what it's doing. But one of the things, and I've got one of my followers who is listening to the show, and she was saying that her local police department is sending out emails asking the citizens to participate in a neighborhood app to access security cameras. Now, my city has done that, and that's through that Ring app. Yep, that is through the Ring app. You can do that. So, you're going to be talking about invasion of privacy there.
I don't get it. I don't understand why anybody would. I just feel like now I'm at the point where you and I have seen so much, but it gets to a point where, like, this census idea, first of all, everybody's paying taxes. So everybody's accounted for. It's not like anybody isn't really accounted for, unless you're an illegal immigrant, and that's its own issue and a whole other episode onto itself. But now you have Hollywood, and you have actors, the same actors were telling us to stay in place, the same agenda. I really, mm-hmm. truly hope that the American people start to wipe the cloud from their eyes and go, why the hell?
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Well, here's another thing. You were talking about, a prediction for what we're going to see happen with the schools. Woven into this new HR 2 that the House has trotted out today, and post-COVID relief and, we have to make sure the schools are safe for that, they're going to put COVID tracking data systems in there. They're going to put COVID tracking alarms in the buildings.
They're doing something weird in my area, though. The local city, the city of Auburn, that I was telling you about earlier, they're having board meetings right now discussing their reopening plan, right? So what they're mm-hmm. coming up with, and it seems to be the most tightest situation, which your read on this would be much appreciated, is they're going to take the elementary schools and disperse. They already had, I think they have 3 elementary schools. So I think what they're going to do is take those three. No, I know what they're planning on doing is they want to spread the elementary schools because of the social distancing. They want to spread those 3 out into the middle school and then take the middle school kids and put them in the high school and then have the high school kids stay home because they're old enough to take care of themselves and remote learning from home. What is your thoughts on that plan?
Oh, that's a train wreck. And, in my area, what they did was not only did they take the middle school and combine it with high school, they started building specialized high schools, Tara, for career tech education. So what does that tell you is going on? We're not teaching academics. No, we're grooming workers. And that's exactly it. But here's a concern. If you're going in middle school, you may or may not have reached puberty yet. And you're now lumped in with high schoolers who are definitely going through all kinds of stuff. That is a big concern, okay? That should be a big concern for people who participate in dual enrollment or early college, because you're taking underage children and you're throwing them in with people that you have no idea who they are. You can't vet them. And, you know, you have no idea. Is your child safe or not?
Well, that's what confused me. When I heard this at the local idea that they were going to have the high schoolers stay home, I said, this isn't exactly what I think the government has planned for these children, because I really don't ever think that this – because I saw Walmart. Walmart had this ad running down Facebook. It was on social media. Congratulations, parents. You survived homeschooling this year. And that it gave, like, a discounted link for parents to go and buy homeschooling materials. We know Walmart has never supported traditional homeschooling. They're talking about this remote learning and parents being home while their kids log on to a tablet. But now,
well, and see, that's the thing that thing that really ticks me off, because you know I had, by the time I graduated our last child, 23 years of homeschooling experience. Okay, and even my children, who are all grown now, have made remarks about, you know, these idiots who go and say that, you know, everybody's homeschooling. No, we know what real homeschooling is, and what they're doing is not it, and that's precisely it. And so I know there's been maybe two or three interviews I've done, Tara, where I've made that distinction of, okay, this is what a homeschool is supposed to be, and this is what everybody's passing it off as. And there are totally distinct differences. So Walmart is not going to give you a true homeschooling anything, okay?
No.
Because it's not homeschooling. It's I'm doing the school's rubric. I'm doing the school's resources at home. I just happen to be at home.
And that's exactly what I was hearing. Me being a homeschooler, I do not have the experience you have, but I have been homeschooling for almost 6 years now. And that is every time I'm buying homeschooling material has been a challenge over the last 6 years since Common Core has been in place, because it's like they've wiped out all traditional learning books. So you go to Walmart thinking, maybe I can buy some nice little workbooks for my kids. Nope, every single thing is Common Core aligned.
Of course it is. So here's my advice, okay? If you are really wanting to homeschool in a traditional way, anything that was published before 2005 is what you want. 2005 to 2008, you might can get away with. 2008 and later, forget it.
Right. And even I would say it is a challenge. It's a challenge even to find books prior
is.
To that.
I was just going to say, this is where you might could get some community efforts going, okay? Is anyone actively homeschooling? Is anyone actively not homeschooling? Can you get those who are actively not homeschooling to mentor the ones who are, so that maybe if they have these old resources that these families could access, that you know you could do that.
You'll see like trading co-ops, not necessarily homeschooling co-ops, but they'll have textbooks and material and projects that they would work. And there's a lot of that in my community, which is like nice to see a lot of Facebook groups that, you know, pull together with the homeschooling community. But, you know, ultimately we're in a big war right now. And I just heard it was a commercial for Bank of America, and Bank of America's commercial was stating how proud they are for the millions and millions of dollars they have donated to end racism. And all of it was going to go towards education and low-income housing. Here's another thing where you look at it, and they said the only way to end racism is to add housing that is either free or nothing. So now it's this whole society of Black Americans – going to say, well, that's all I've got.
Well, actually, what it is, Tara, is if you all right, but if you look at the Sustainable Development Goals, the very first one is no poverty. And people think, oh, that means that everybody's going to be rich. No, what it means is everybody's going to be government nanny-stated to death.
That's
so
right.
That your private property is not going to be your private property anymore. No, that's going to be taken and used for something else, and you're going to get stuck in this government housing. And it won't matter if you're black, white, purple, or whatever. You know,
right.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, if
attention.
You're
yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's what I'm saying. Parents
oh, okay.
should always pay attention to those things.
Well, now, here's another thing for homeschoolers. So anytime you hear the word free, you better be looking, because 9 times out of 10, it is going to be either from the government or it's going to be Common Core aligned. So you really, really need to be careful.
Oh.
If it is anything that's connected to the government, even the Smithsonian, which, you know,
that's
I
right.
used as a teaching resource for years. But when they started going Common Core, I said, oh, no, we're not doing that. So, yeah, free is a big no-no. But I also wanted to point out, if y'all are, you know, if anybody wants to be looking at all the home visiting that's going on in the name of COVID, and, you know, like I was saying, the schools are saying that it's their business to track you down so they can make sure
right.
you're okay, Google mm-hmm. home visiting, or use your search engine and type that in, and you're going to see a lot of articles that are not old ones but new ones. And then if you ever get annoyed with those Facebook ads, okay, and now if you look once, it's going to pepper you with them, but virtual babysitting is now a big deal.
Oh, I've seen these apps where parents will actually use their phones as even infant monitors and then walk away, like far away, because it'll parents are just surrendering their children over and they don't even realize it. And it's all in the name of technology, I got to say. Most of it is technology-based.
Oh, yeah.
This is all about and then everybody can be steered, maneuvered, just like I always picture, like, you know, the gods on Mount Olympus when they move people around. And that's kind of what they're doing with us, is that, okay, well, you're smart in that aspect. But when you, like you said, like I said earlier in the show, the Native Americans near us were given money for that low-income housing. So, again, we're hearing low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
These are so
mm-hmm.
people are not property owners. This is not meant for one ethnicity. It's meant for all of us
mm-mm.
to be in these pubs.
Right. Now, here's another aspect to all this, okay? Have you seen the new Pampers with the tracking device right in the personal area of your child?
I did that.
That's wearable tech.
That is terrible. And parents understand it. Where is the, you know, I'm so old school that I'm not even that old, you know, but my parents taught me responsibility when I was watching children. You know, they for me, and I learned from them, and it was to have a computer or a phone or a camera just take over and let it all. I don't understand how parents are doing it, but drinking the drink.
Well,
so
you know,
easily.
All those Fitbits and smartwatches.
Oh yeah,
that everybody just loves. I mean, that's wearable tech as well. And you want to know the one
that's
that really
right.
freaks me out, Tara? Have you seen the mm-hmm. ad for the mirror, the in-home?
No.
A gym workout apparatus?
Oh, yes,
oh, that
I
thing,
have.
Oh, that thing is so freaky. Every time that ad comes on, oh, my gosh, I just, There's no way I want that in my house, because it's not only is it gathering your biometrical personal information that is really nobody's business, it's big enough it's going to see everything that goes on.
That's right, and I don't know, you might have seen it. I posted a video on my Facebook page of what they're doing now in China with the headbands across the children's heads.
Right.
And this,
mm-hmm.
They're monitoring if they're behaving or not, and they ironically only say that the information is being sent to the teacher and the parents, but we also know that there's a huge database that the government has. So So they're, we're going to do this. Our children are paying attention to their phone too much for 2 seconds. I mean, really, what are we doing? We're micromanaging every little thought process. We're putting all this information into their brains that's making everybody scrambled eggs. That's the, their brains are just scrambled eggs.
Well, the, and, you know, I was on a show with a medical doctor based out of Atlanta, and we were discussing this, and she has seen some of the information that I was bringing up, and that was the fact of if you look at the brain scan of a person who has been able to developmentally advance through classical education or through a free-thinking education, all right, their brain is going to look one way. When you look at the brain scan of a child or a person who has been educated in this tech-heavy environment, Tara, the brain development is stunted, and the brain nerve endings and wiring and all that kind of stuff that, that God made us to be is has seriously been messed with and totally redeveloped.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So this is, you know, this is
doubt it.
Yeah, this is child abuse. This absolutely is. And some of this tech is saying, you know, not suitable for kids under 14. Well, it's not really suitable if you're 14 or over anyway, because too much tech is harmful for anyone. Those virtual headgear thingies, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Now, anything can be pumped through that.
Well, that was my biggest concern. I mean, we're conditioned so subtly, like you said, with the Fitbit watches and things like that and how convenient everything is. But all I could see was when I watched that video of these little children with these little headbands monitoring their behavior skills, it made me think back to when I had brought my daughter to the public school kindergarten orientation week, and they had put these headphones on her, and they're all walking around the classroom like little zombies with these headphones on, going to these little workstations, and the teacher leans against the desk and says to me, "Isn't this wonderful?" And I said, "Well, it's so wonderful." She's like, "Well, they're learning like in all different ways." And I looked at her, and my response, Lynn, was, "Well, what are you doing?"
Oh, yeah. No, they're facilitating, or they're supposed to be some sort of behavior monitor.
She looked at me like a deer in headlights. I said, "What do you mean, what am I doing? You're just standing here holding up the desk."
Well, you know how bad Pearson is, right? And you know how long they've been in this garbage. If you go to YouTube, you want to go to Pearson, and you want to look for the vision for personalized and connected learning, and it'll scare the pants off of you, okay? And then, not that I trust CNN, but from January 16th of this year, they have an article. This is your child's brain on books. Scan will show you a benefit of reading versus screen time.
Wow.
But, you know, that's what's going on with all these proposed changes. Is it's not so much about what you've been – it's not about what we've been saying, which is people-based. This is supposed innovation. And that – I know we're about to run out of time, but one last thing. Yeah. The reason we're seeing a lot of this, my dear, is because woven into ESSA was the mandate that all infrastructure across the United States had to be modernized so that no child, regardless of what choice, could be denied educational access 24/7, 365 days a year.
That's right. Well, you know, Lynn, I want to thank you so much for coming on today's show. You're always you're actually like a geyser of knowledge. You're not just a fountain of knowledge. And you're a geyser of knowledge, and you are true to your convictions, you're true to your family, you're true to your community, and I really appreciate the time you spend here. And again, we'll be talking. You know, you keep us posted as to what's going on,
okay?
Okay,
dear.
All right,
I will.
Thank you.
Much.
Hug. Bye-bye. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Moms Watching Media. It was a great discussion with Common Core Diva and true patriot, fellow warrior, my good friend Lynn Taylor. She's an amazing advocate for the children. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter. You can find Common Core Diva on the Internet as well, her wonderful website that posts all of the different updates what's going on in our community. And I'd like to cover a little bit more. You know, get out to those board meetings. You know, if you don't know what to say, then just sit there and listen so you can educate yourself as to what is going on in your community. And when you hear these things and you understand what's going on, you will be better armed to fight back and push back. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Join me again next Tuesday, and we will be discussing the issues that are surrounding us in our communities. God bless, and stay true to yourself, and keep.
We are heartfelt.
We speak from the heart.
We are open.
We don't hold back.
We are positivity,
prosperity,
and preparation.
We're endeavoring to empower.
We are hope.
So get off your aspirations and join us on Hope Radio with Cece
and Trevor, Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. Join
the
crew.
Join the crew.